This is the Best in Wealth Podcast, a show for successful family stewards who want real answers about wealth and investing so they can feel secure about their family's future. At the Best in Wealth Podcast, we think differently about wealth and investing. You should too. Well, hello, everybody. How are you doing this great day? My name is Scott Wellens, and I am your host of the Best in Wealth Podcast. This is a show dedicated to helping real people, that is you, build real wealth. So together, we can take family stewardship to the next level. I am a certified financial planner, an educator, and a wealth advisor. And thank you so much for tuning in today. If you have any questions about this podcast or any other, please email me at scott@bestinwealth.com. Or you can go to the website, bestinwealth.com. And in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a place where you can click Ask Scott a Question. So happy New Year, everybody. I have been away for a few weeks. I suspended the show for 2 weeks because I was spending time with my family, which if you have been listening, you know that my life is about building cornerstones, and as yours should too, and I strive to be the best family steward that I can. So my main cornerstone is my family, and I love the holidays, and I love spending time with my family. And I'm not saying that I didn't work at all during the last couple of weeks, because I did. I had client meetings and so forth, but I did decide to suspend the show for a couple weeks so I could spend as much quality time with my family as possible. And it was great. I hope all of you had an absolutely wonderful holiday season as well. But now we're back. And the last time we were together, we talked about end of year tax moves or money moves that you could make to best put yourself in a position for the greatest chance for success for you and your family. So I'm going to flip the tables a little bit for this topic, which is going to be about New Year's money resolutions. That will be our topic of the day. My question before, though, we start the topic is, have you made any resolutions this year? And some people think that resolutions are bogus because people don't follow them. They make them, and then a couple of weeks later, they go by the wayside. And I am guilty of that to many goals that I have set and not achieved in my life. But my argument to those people is, if you don't even try, then you'll never ever get there. And by me setting goals, yeah, I have failed at some, but I have succeeded at others. And if I never would have ever set that goal to begin with, then it never ever would have happened. And one of my reoccurring goals, and I know a lot of you have reoccurring goals too, just like this one, is to get back in shape. People make fun of me because every single year I have a Jan 1 plan, and I'm not going to lie to you. I went out last week and I bought new tennis shoes. My wife got me a Fitbit for Christmas, and I'm ready to rock and roll. I actually signed on a new gym membership to get the introductory rate. Since I am somewhat of a tightwad, I am always watching my dollars. So I have a new gym, new tennis shoes, new Fitbit. I'm ready to roll. And the truth of the matter is, last year I had a similar goal to get back in shape, and it lasted, as I spoke about in some shows earlier, for about 6 months. And then the second 6 months, things kind of fell off the rails. So we're back on it. But if I don't set these goals, I will stay off the rails and I will not get back into shape. And I was in great shape at the beginning of last year. I ran a couple of half marathons. So what are your New Year's resolutions? Are there things that are stressing you out? Do you need to spend more time with your family? Do you need to get into shape? Do you need to get your finances managed a little bit better? Do you want a cleaner, more organized house? What are your resolutions and your goals this year? That's going to be the focus of this show. However, we're going to just talk about potential money resolutions that you could make. So before we go any further, let's get to the topic of the day. All righty then, we're going to talk about five potential money resolutions that you can make today. But before I get into those five, I want to talk about goals and how to set smart goals. Because when I just talked about getting back into shape, I needed to actually be more specific about my goal. I needed to measure it. I need to make sure it's attainable and relevant and time related. What do I mean by that? There's an acronym in this SMART goals. So SMART, each letter of SMART stands for something, and each goal should have this quality inside of it. So the S stands for specific. You should target a specific area for improvement. And for me, it is my specific goal is to lose 20 pounds. That's specific. The M in SMART stands for measurable. You need to quantify or at least suggest an indicator of the progress. So when you're trying to lose weight, such as I am, it's easy to measure it because I can get my butt on a scale. That's measurable. Your goal needs to be measurable. The A in SMART stands for attainable. You want to make sure that an end can be achieved. If I didn't think that I could lose 20 pounds, then that probably wasn't a good goal. If you're going to say that you want to lose 50 pounds, but it's not realistic for your body type to lose 50, well, that's not attainable. The goal needs to be attainable. The R in SMART stands for relevant. Is the goal right for you at this time? If you are in great shape right now, you probably don't need to set a goal of losing 20 pounds. It's not relevant to you. You need to look to other goals. And finally, the T in SMART for SMART goals stands for time related. Specify when the results can be achieved. So for me, my goal is specific, 20 pounds. My goal is measurable. I can get on a scale and measure progress every week. My goal is attainable because 6 months ago, I was 20 pounds lighter. I know that I can lose 20 pounds. It is attainable. My goal is relevant. It's relevant because my belly got big and it's something I really need to focus on, losing 20 pounds. And finally, my goal is time related. I want to lose this 20 pounds in 20 weeks. I want to lose a pound per week. So in 20 weeks, I should be able to attain my goal. That's setting a SMART goal. And I wanted to give you the framework of all that because I'm going to give you five money resolutions that you could make for yourself through the SMART goals and not something that isn't attainable or not something that isn't specific or measurable or time related. So number one SMART goal that you could make, if this applies to you, is to get out of debt. But that in itself isn't your goal. Your goal needs to be more specific than that. Your goal needs to be attainable. So let's say, for example, you're $100,000 in debt. You should not say, I want to get out of debt, and not say when, and not say how, and not give a specific time period, and make sure that you're actually measuring your debt progress. So a more relevant goal, if attaining $100,000 of being debt free, maybe that's a 5-year goal. So this year, your specific goal should be, I want to get $20,000 of my debt moved away from my balance sheet. I want to go from $100,000 worth of debt to $80,000. That's a specific goal. It's measurable as long as you are tracking your progress of your debt. If you're adding up all your debt and checking each month where you are, now it's measurable. And more specifically, take that $20,000, divide it by 12, and now you are getting out of debt at a little over $1,000 or $1,500 per month to get to that $20,000. It's measurable, it's specific, it's attainable as long as you know that you can find $1,500 or so from your budget to get out of debt. If it's not attainable, if you're living in the red already, maybe you need to even start smaller and try and get $10,000 out of debt. Needs to be attainable. Is it relevant? Well, if you're $100,000 in debt, you better believe it's relevant. That's the goal for you. And finally, time related, specify when. In the next year, I want to be $20,000 rid of debt, with a long-term goal of a 5 years to get out of that $100,000. I hope that makes sense. And if you're one of those people that really needs to get debt out of your life, the biggest factor here is going to be motivation. It's easy for 1 month to dial down and live on a budget and be able to get rid of some of your debt. It's difficult to do it month after month after month. I know this because in my 20s, I was in a pile of debt. I really was kind of overwhelmed, so I didn't know what to do. And one day, I listened to a guy on the radio. And I am not saying this is your perfect guy, and he may not be an expert on investing or insurance, but he's the expert on getting people out of debt because he motivates people day after day. And he may even say things that you don't like, things that make you upset. And he really, really drills on people during his show. And the man I'm talking about is Dave Ramsey. But let me tell you, he was a savior for me, because when I was traveling all over the United States, I used to download his shows on my iPod. And then when I was up in the air in flights, I'd listen to him and I'd be motivated listening to him and listening to the other people who finally were out of debt after a year or 5 years or 7 years. And it was so absolutely cool to hear these stories, and I wanted to be part of the story. So if you're one of those people that really needs to dial down, I suggest you listen to the Dave Ramsey Show for motivation and tips to get there. Okay, that's number one. If that applies to you, I want that to be your number one money goal for this year. Maybe you're already out of debt or close to out of debt and you have a good plan already. Let's move on to the next goal. Start an emergency fund. All of us should have at least 3 to 6 months worth of living expenses in our emergency fund. A lot of people need more, and if you're retired, you need a whole heck of a lot more too, to use the bucket strategy, which is a whole another episode. However, all need an emergency fund. So if you're someone who is living paycheck to paycheck and maybe you're out of debt but you don't have an emergency fund, that should be your goal for 2016. And let's say 3 or 6 months worth of living expenses are $10,000, or even rounded out better, let's say $12,000. Well, now we can set a specific goal that in the next year, you're going to build the emergency fund to $12,000. Make it measurable by checking progress and putting $1,000 in a separate savings account each month. If it's attainable, make sure that you have the resources that you can cut down in other places to actually put away $1,000 a month. Maybe you want to start smaller if you can't and save $500. Make sure it's attainable, just like we talked about. Make sure it's relevant. Are you someone who needs an emergency fund? And the people that need one are the people that don't have one currently and make it time related. You want to get this goal accomplished within the next year. Folks, these two first goals can take so much stress out of your life. Imagine yourself right now completely out of debt and having a 6-month emergency fund. It is overwhelmingly cool because you know what? When the furnace breaks down, when you need a new roof on your house, you don't have to tap into a credit card or home equity. Boom, you have it in your emergency fund. And then once you use that money, well, now you take the time to set the goal to build that back up to the $12,000. But if you're somebody who stresses over money, an emergency fund can be completely valuable in your life because your stress will go so far down. All right, number three, save more for retirement. Now, that can't be your goal because that's not a smart goal, but let's drill down a little bit. What do I mean, save more for retirement? Well, let's say, for example, you're saving 5% of your income in your 401k plan or your IRA right now, and you have an idea that you should probably be saving more. Well, let's set a goal. Instead of just save for retirement, let's set a goal to instead go from 5% to go to 6 or 7%. And let's start a longer term goal that in the next 2 or 3 or 5 years, you're going to get from that 5% up to 15%. Because realistically, that's what everybody at minimum should be saving. You may get away with 10% if you have an unbelievable match, and everybody's circumstance is completely different, but I like to tell people to save 15 and 20% of their income. I mean, when you're really dialed in and you don't have debt and you have an emergency fund and you have a spending plan, man, you can start to find 15 and 20 and 25% savings if you need to start really catching up because you want to actually retire someday and not run out of money. There was a point in my life where I was saving 50% of my income. And man, we were dialed in like you would not believe. Am I suggesting that? No, but let's lift it up to 7% or 8% or 10% if you're lower. Okay, find a plan to make this happen. This really is a one-time thing too. As long as you can find the money in your monthly cash flow to support an increase, because once you set that, you kind of forget about it. And then your lifestyle is more in tune to you saving 10% instead of 5%. It's the opposite of when you get a raise. When most people get a raise, their lifestyle just creeps up a little bit. They don't save more for retirement. They don't put it away for retirement. They spend it. They get, you know, they go out to eat more, whatever. But the opposite is, if all of a sudden you're putting a higher percentage away, well, now you see that, well, now we got to go out to eat less or entertainment less or anything, just making sure that now you're living down to that little bit lower standard. And really, it's not that much. And once you're used to it, it's the only life that you know. All right, number four, money move. Let's say, for example, you are out of debt. You have an emergency fund. You save 15 plus percent in retirement. These don't apply to you. So the next potential goal for you is to get your investments in order. When you're younger, your investments don't matter as much. The important thing is that you're plowing as much money into your retirement as possible. But as you get older, it's so much more important to get dialed in to getting your investments in order. And this is what we talk about on this show so many times, which is the difference between active investing and passive investing. And the difference between small companies and large companies and value and growth. It all sounds overwhelming. But when you dial it all in, it's not that big of a deal. And if you're someone who isn't sure if you have your investments in order or not, my suggestion for you is to buy this little book. This isn't a book that I wrote, but the book is called The Investment Answer. And it's a great book to really dial down what is important in your investing. What are the decisions you need to make so that you have, or so that you are setting yourself up for the greatest chance for success, to have a successful investing experience. This book is written by Dan Goldie and Gordon Murray. And it's such a small little book. I think it's 60 pages. It might be a total of 80, but readable pages, only 60. You sit down one time for an hour and a half, and you will digest this whole book, and you have a whole new outlook on how investing really works. Because let me tell you, folks, the way the media tells you to invest and the way the media draws on your emotions, they do not have your best interest in mind. The media's best interest is to get more people to watch their shows so they can sell more advertisement. That's it. The shows are not about you. The shows are to draw on your emotions. The shows are about to display bad news, because there's always bad news going on out in the marketplace, and to get your emotions brewing. That is it. That is what media is all about. And not only in the financial media, in all media. People, for some reason, like bad news better than they like good news. So get this book. And you know what? That's an easy, smart goal. It's specific. You're buying the book. You can go to Amazon and buy it. It's called The Investment Answer. Okay? It's measurable, because say you're going to set a goal, I'm going to buy this in the next week, and I'm going to read it within 2 weeks after that. Okay, it's attainable easily. It's relevant if you're feeling uneasy about your investment mix right now, and it's time related. You're going to get it done in the next few weeks. It's easy. Do it. Buy the book. And incidentally, if you don't buy the book, I am going to have a podcast dedicated solely to a review of this book, to go over the five decisions every investor needs to make. So as a compromise, you can continue to tune in to the Best in Wealth podcast, and we will do a review of the book. Okay, we've gone through four. Let's say you are out of debt. Let's say you have an emergency fund. You're saving enough for retirement. Your investments are over because you're taking the family stewardship approach to investing, exactly as the book talks about in The Investment Answer. Number five goal, and there's a whole lot more goals, but the number five goal is get estate planning documents. This is so vitally important. And when I have consultations with potential clients, over and over and over, I hear the same thing. Yes, we need to go get a will. We need to have a living will. We need to have our estate planning documents. We talk about it. We just haven't done it yet. Well, folks, this is one of the most important things that you can do. If you have minor children, man, you want to make sure you know where your kids will go if you both die. If you end up in a hospital and you're on life support, don't you want to have the say on whether or not that plug is pulled? These are all things that are part of your estate planning documents. If you have kids that are in the early 20s and you have a high net worth and you die, do you want your kids to each get $1 million or a couple of $1 million and blow it right away? Or do you want to set up a trust within your estate planning documents so there are rules for your kids that they have to attain certain SMART goals before they have access to the money? Because all of this stuff you have so much control over when you're still alive, but when you die, man, you don't have any control any longer. And another reason is probate is horrible. Probate can eat up so much of your nest egg if you die that there's all these ways that you can avoid probate with your assets if you just get your estate plan in order. All right, so the time has come. The time has come for you right now to set a SMART goal for on one of these five money resolutions that you can make. This is the perfect time. All things are anew. The beginning of 2016. What money SMART goal are you gonna set? Is it time for you to get out of debt? Is that your goal? Are you gonna start an emergency fund to lower that anxiety in your life? Are you gonna finally save more for retirement? Is that the goal that you need to set? And set the goal smartly. Make it specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-related. Is it time for you to get your investments in order? Is that your goal? And if it is, buy the book, The Investment Answer, and make sure you continuously tune in to the Best in Wealth podcast, because we talk about getting your investments in order more often than we talk about other things. And finally, is your goal to get your estate planning documents for the first time or updated if you haven't in many, many, many years? Is that your goal? Now is the time, friends. Set your goal. And if you have questions for me, email me, scott@bestinwealth.com, or go to the website, bestinwealth.com. Listen, you guys, set your goals, and I will see you on the flip side. Bye-bye, everyone. The Best in Wealth podcast is hosted by Scott Wellens. Scott Wellens is the principal of Fortress Planning Group. Fortress Planning Group is a registered investment advisory firm regulated by the Securities Act of Wisconsin in accordance and compliance with securities laws and regulations. Fortress Planning Group does not render or offer to render personalized investment or tax advice through the Best in Wealth podcast. The information provided is for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial, tax, investment, or legal advice.